Hello and welcome to the InVivo podcast. I'm David Wild, pharma and biotech reporter at InVivo. Today, I'm speaking with Eric Finzi, co-founder of Helus Therapeutics. Helus is developing a single asset, CKD-B501A, a botulinum toxin A neuromodulator for the treatment of major depressive disorder and post-traumatic stress disorder. Eric was a practicing dermatologic surgeon and a professor. He was trained at Johns Hopkins. Eric has authored over 30 research publications and a book titled The Face of Emotion, How Botox Affects Our Moods and Relationships. I'm really looking forward to hearing more about how Botox does affect mood and how Eric and his team are developing their asset. Eric, welcome to the show.
Pleasure. Nice to meet you, David. Yeah, it's fascinating. And the origins of this whole story are, unfortunately, that in my family, my mother suffered from depression, and the treatments at the time couldn't help her. So I have a very strong personal motivation here. I was motivated to develop a new way of approaching psychiatry, a new way for depression, as well as other psychiatric disorders. And I happened to be fortunate enough to find a new way, which was using Bonté as a way to influence the brain without actually entering the brain. And so our key finding is that we can actually improve depression, PTSD, and anxiety by just treating the muscles that are connected up with the brain. And it has been reported by multiple groups showing that the amygdala, which is this tiny little area in the brain, which is central to the pathogenesis of most psychiatric diseases, the amygdala is downregulated when you treat right here, but not here, only here. And so we've taken this knowledge and started Helus Therapeutics in 2022, Sebastian De Burz and myself. And we're now working on a new Bonté that's going to be approved in Korea in this calendar year. And we're getting ready to file an IND for our new Bonté for depression and PTSD.
Fantastic. So you covered a little bit about the professional and the personal motivations for getting to where you are. And I would love to get a little bit of a deeper dive into kind of professionally how you got to noticing that. Was it in your kind of cosmetic practice that you're seeing patients feeling better about themselves after an injection of Botox, or how did that come about?
It actually came about through reading in a different field. I'd always been interested in psychology, and I happened across an entire field which referenced the concept of facial feedback, how what you do with your facial muscles affects your thinking and your feelings. And I found all of these articles which strongly suggested to me that the muscles involved with frowning were not just causing you to frown when you felt bad, but they were actually feeding back to the brain and making you feel negative feelings. So it dawned on me, because I was also trained as an experimental scientist. I have a PhD in biochemistry and did a postdoctoral fellowship in molecular biology. I was used to doing experiments. So I decided to do the simple experiment. I asked, if this is really true and the muscles contribute to problems with mood, then if I inhibit those muscles, then their mood should improve. And I did the first study and published it in 2006 and went around the world. And then it took a number of years for many groups to replicate my results, which they did. And now it's been replicated in 10 randomized controlled trials in 5 countries with 500 patients, all showing the same thing, that when you inhibit the muscles of frowning, that you actually send a signal back to the brain, and the brain responds accordingly, And what's unique about this therapy is the only treatment out there that has the potential to treat all of these psychiatric diseases without causing side effects that we see with the other drugs. So, as you know, there are many, many drugs for treatment in psychiatry. However, they almost all cross the blood-brain barrier. And when small molecules get into the brain, they have other side effects, maybe weight gain or sexual dysfunction or dry mouth. There's just a litany of side effects from drugs, which is actually a big reason why we're developing this, because the side effects are what sometimes prevent people from actually continuing their medication. And so what happens is really only about a third of patients with depression are adequately served with the traditional pills. So this treatment, because it does not cross the blood-brain barrier, creates an entirely new paradigm for the treatment of psychiatric disease. So we have a different MOI, and we have it's a totally different concept, and it employs this the understanding of how the brain works and the neurocircuitry in the brain to treat conditions in the brain without actually entering the brain.
Major depression, post-traumatic stress disorder is a complicated
Correct.
psychological disorder. Does it treat kind of the entirety of the disorder or one aspect of it?
Well, it remains to be seen when you do large phase three clinical trials. But what we can say is we have unpublished data showing it can completely eliminate symptoms in quite a few patients. And here's why. The amygdala is considered to be the central piece of what's causing PTSD. And this treatment quiets the amygdala. And in people who have bad PTSD, their amygdala is upregulated. So, but it's a good question. And, we'll have to treat 500 patients before we know all the details. But we do know that it works in many. And when it works, it really works. And that I've personally observed in patients.
One thing I found interesting when I was doing some background reading on your work was that I've heard you cite Charles Darwin as the originator of the theory that underlies your work. Can you tell us more about those origins?
Correct, correct. So Darwin wasn't wrong about many things. And in 1872, he published a book, The Expression of Emotions in Man and Animals. I read that book cover to cover after I read the psychology research. And I said, Darwin is saying right here in the book that maybe frowning is actually causing what he called melancholy. He says it in the book. Now, as I said, Darwin is an amazing thinker and he provided evidence for it. And he actually had pictures of severely depressed people who had terrible frowns. And he questioned, he said, well, what's the chicken? What's the egg? What, maybe the expression is causing that. He didn't use those exact words, but you could infer from that. So Darwin then stimulated William James, who also developed this theory further. And then Paul Ekman in the 60s and 70s, great psychologist. And he published some seminal studies showing that if you just move your muscles between your eyebrows, it affects your thinking and feeling. So there was, I be, so I pieced it all together. And that's what stimulated me to do the original experiment.
There's some truth to the saying, turn your frown upside down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, the difference is that although it's nice to tell people smile more and frown less, it's almost impossible to do as a treatment. However, Bonté can basically prevent you from smiling for 3 months. And that's a tremendous value. And that's why it's so powerful, because it doesn't matter if you want to frown, you still won't, because you can't. The muscles are inhibited. And since we started the field, we now have 10 patents, including a most recent one with PTSD, with a runway to 2035. So we're very excited about that. And then we have another family of patents, patenting social anxiety and obsessive compulsive disorder and panic disorder. So, and we have data on some of these conditions as well. So our pipeline extends way beyond depression, but to many disorders in psychiatry. All of the above have been shown to have problems with an overregulated, upregulated amygdala. And so the common mechanism of action is most likely that Bonte calms the amygdala. And that's how one drug could treat so many conditions. And we're very excited about all these new patents.
Right. That brings me to, I was going to ask about intellectual property and your strategy for it. Is Bont a distinct molecule from what's currently available?
Well, so no Bonte is patented, okay? However, our patents are what's called method of use. So we have patented in these 10 patents the use of Bonte for the specific area between the eyebrows to treat all of these psychiatric disorders. And it turns out that the FDA considers each Bonte to be a unique protein. It's regulated under biologics. And so let's say we develop it for one indication with our Bonte, and competitor B wants to come in and replicate. They would then have to do all the phase two and all the phase three studies with their own Bonte because there is no biosimilar or generic. And that means that it greatly reduces competition in the field.
I believe the asset has changed ownership a few times before you picked it up. It was with Allergan and AbbVie. Can you tell us a little bit more about the kind of journey it's taken?
So after I published the, and there was a flurry of publications in 2012 and 13, then Allergan approached me and licensed the depression family from me to develop it for MDD. And they completed a phase two trial, and they were moving ahead with phase three when they got acquired not once, but twice. And that slowed everything down. And Sebastian and myself saw an opportunity for us to spin out of Allergan, as I've been working with them, with the depression patents, and at the same time, we added all the other patents into our new company. So we were, I would say, lucky that Sebastian was smart enough to realize that we could spin out. And I credit him for figuring that one out. And we did successfully. And we have no, for we're friends, but no formal relationship with AbbVie at this time. And we have all the patents back.
Just going back to the research that's been done, I think there have been, correct me if I'm wrong, 8 phase 2 studies done.
It's now 10.
What's been holding back development into phase 3 research? And what's your plan, in terms of moving forward with that evidence?
Well, you know, we, for us, it was about having control. So, we're completely committed to this project, and we wanted to have the use of our own Bonte. And that took a year for us to have a 20-year supply agreement with a top Korean biopharma, CKD Bio. And now that that's in place, now we're ready to, in the next few months, to file our IND, and then we'll be able to enter phase two. We should be able to enter phase two trials because although you can't, most likely won't be able to go to phase three because the FDA will require it's a new Bonte and they'll require us to repeat phase two, even though it's been done multiple times. But as I said, each Bonte is considered to be unique. And so nothing's going to prevent us now. We'll be able to hopefully start. This calendar year with phase two. And then after a little more than a year, we should have top line results from phase two, and then we'll be ready to go to phase three. And the development programs, it's, as I said, it's not just depression. PTSD is high up on the list, as is social anxiety. So there, you know, it is a pretty big list of priorities, but they're all important. And we're simultaneously working to advance all the, you know, the major assets in the pipeline at the same time.
And do you have enough cash on hand to move ahead with that, or are you planning fundraising in the near future?
We're definitely we are going to be actively fundraising upon the FDA approval of the IND, because that's the last hurdle. Because without an IND, of course, you can't go forward with human research. And once we have that, I think it's very clear from an expected value analysis that this is incredible ROI. 1% of the market for one of the indications will generate more than $1 billion of revenue for Helus in 1 year. 1%. And we expect in some of these disorders that we'll get 10% of the market.
And do you plan on commercializing it yourself or looking for a partner?
We are open to everything. I mean, we're, I don't think there's one way to get to Rome. And I think there are, we're open certainly to strategic partnership. We're open to acquisition. A good example would be Karuna, which developed its single drug for schizophrenia that will most likely be FDA approved. It was acquired for $14 billion. So it's all about timing. And our goal is to advance this far enough along so no matter who winds up ultimately commercializing, whether it be us or a larger pharmaceutical company, that it's set in place, that the direction is already there, and that it will be developed. Because what's really important to us is that this treatment concept reach the, you know, 60 million patients in America with the various psychiatric disorders who can benefit from this treatment. So that's a lot of people. We're talking 280 million people globally. So for us, this is mission driven as well as business driven, in that we want to make sure that this actually gets completed and then these millions of people who are suffering don't no longer have to suffer.
Well, best of luck to you on that front. Eric, thanks so much for a really interesting chat, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening to the InVivo podcast. For more biopharma news and insights, visit invivo.com.